Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. We have Lowell Ponte here. I don't know, Lowell, if you want to come on and stay on longer into hour number two because they have open time, but we have lots to cover today. Yesterday I tore a very large strip off the policies of the GOP and the Republicans, not because they're doing anything different than Obama, because Obama killed the immigration system, didn't fix it, and he actually did deport a ton of people that were sent back. I think some like two-thirds of the people that arrived at the border were sent back by Obama, but because the media are in bed with Obama and the intel agencies, they never covered it negatively, but they do with Trump because they want to impeach Trump, or if anything, they wanted to assassinate him. So as far as the optics go, I think Trump should, with a stroke of a pen, stop this, and then I believe that what they should be doing is shipping, like the Bracero program back in the 1940s, shipping these economic refugees directly to work camps where they can't integrate into our society and wander off to L.A. or the Central Valley or to some city like Sacramento. And they can work with a clean bed, good food, and education for their kids, who are probably very poorly educated, don't even know what a flush toilet is.
And they also have the security of knowing they're going to be paid.
They're going to get paid. They're not going to have their kids join a gang.
Yeah,
they're basically
illegally.
Right, and so they come here as a worker to work and get paid, and then half their salary, like Bracero, was kept in a bank. And when they go back to their home country, and they'd be bussed back. I honestly think we should have these people not trying to cross the desert or Mexico or whatever, but we should bus them from their place of origin once they've been vetted to say, hey, I'm going to pick fruit, or I'm going to do this job or that job for X number of months, and when I've finished my term, I'm going to be shipped back to my home country in a clean bus with bottled water and good meals, and I'm not going to have to deal with cartels or coyotes or anything else. And this would solve the problem. The issue is we have two-thirds of the asylum seekers in the world actually arrive at America's shores. That's not reasonable. But we can have a lot more workers here arrive, and having workers arrive is a different thing. Immigration should be driven by three things. We should have immigration based on what states can apply for specific numbers of people. Industry can apply for numbers of people, and they should file it by a specific date, so then we don't have any lottery system or chain migration. So if one person gets in, all of their relatives, some of them very ominous relatives that might be MS-13 or criminals, don't get in the damn country. And it's not an immigration issue. It's a work issue, number one. Immigration should be streamlined, but it should be both industry and state responsive. If a specific state says, I want so many workers to work in the lumber industry, we need to have people that are physically fit to work in the lumber industry that can go through a fitness test in their home country, and then we bus them up to their workplace where they work, and they don't get to go into the local town or city, whatever. They get to stay on the work camp. This has to, we have to realize that this does not allow them to integrate into our society and become pseudo citizens, or in California get a driver's license. It's two separate issues, and we don't want to mix them, do we?
That's part of the problem. Part two is that remittances back to the home country are a major source of income for the home country, so they're perfectly happy to have workers up here who wouldn't be able to find work down there. The problem is, of course, since we began or ended the Bracero program, I guess ended in the 50s, because I remember riding around in an orange-growing town with Bracero, we have found ourselves in a difficult situation. We've created such a luxurious welfare state. The average Hispanic couple, illegal couple here, for example, devours $17,500 more than they pay in taxes. The people who are employing them would just assume they were illegal, because the more illegal they are, the lower they can be paid.
Well, I think, you see, as soon as you make it legal and you actually fix the wages so they get paid properly, a lot of the industry that's even bringing underage kids, like I heard about a company up, I think it's in Indiana, that was actually importing underage kids with Mexican coyotes, bringing these young men across the border to work in this facility, and I think it was a farming facility, under 18 years of age, unaccompanied by their parents. And 80% of the children coming up here are underage. They're under 18 years of age. Some of them are given over to coyotes or put in the back of a trunk or a large truck, and they actually suffocate. I think they should be bused from the country of origin as workers, and they should be taken specifically to facilities. We want to call them work camps or prison work camps. I don't care what you call them. They basically are work camps where they get clean beds, good food, good education for their kids, properly treated, and they get bused back to their country of origin with their wages transferred directly to their accounts.
See, this and we is also the problem, Dr. Bill. You're a rational, logical person in an irrational, illogical system.
Well, no, the reason is it's dialectics. Well, the reason why is this, okay? And I talked about this yesterday, and this is the real deep argument about it. America is both the best country in the world and the worst. We have collaborated with, for example, with George Soros for Orange Revolutions Everywhere. For the last century, America has been the operative that took over from the British, manipulating countries, collapsing their economies, abusing their people, and their resources, and taking whatever we can. And what America has done, basically, to many of these other countries, is we built up this giant welfare state, so it's an open border thing, especially since the 1970s, I think, really bad. And we have, on the other hand, don't understand, without a border, you don't have a country. Now, by a border, I mean you can bring people across the border to a specific facility to work, but they don't get to wander off into Sacramento or some other city where they can come become a shadow citizen. Like, for example, we estimate 2.5 million illegals that actually have driver's license that voted in the last election, which is part of the reason why, although she didn't win these Rust Belt states, Hillary Clinton got an extra 3 million votes. These are probably mainly illegals or people who voted multiple times. So what we're dealing with is the criminal elite inside the government, and there's some very bad criminals, and it's being shown by the IG report. But people don't understand. We, through Fast and Furious, with actually gave guns that had license numbers on them. That means it came from the government. I know because I worked inside classified areas in the government. Those unlicensed guns were given to our cartels that were fighting other cartels, like the Cali cartel fighting the other cartels. So what we're seeing is we actually obtain, take our cut, of equivalent to around $2 trillion a year from the illegal drug trade, not only here but over in Afghanistan and Golden Triangle, and illegal human trade, including underage children, and illegal organ trade, meaning transplanting of organs. And in all these processes, there's trillions of dollars flowing into projects that aren't under government, Senate, congressional, or presidential oversight, in projects where it's a need-to-know basis. Underground cities, off-world space projects, weird genetic engineering, all kinds of crazy stuff that costs trillions of dollars to companies like Bechdel Corporation. Now, the fact is, America is, without a doubt, the most evil nation that's existed in history. And the problem is, they talk about it being an immigration problem. They want to maintain the problem, both the Democrats and Republicans. You see it inside the House. They don't want to come to a solution. The solution is pretty simple. Streamline the immigration process, make it responsive to business, industry, and states in terms of actual numbers, and then have a work program. And when you have only need so many workers, everybody else trying to apply can't get in because you don't have a job for them. But we have a lot of work. America is a nation that needs lots of workers that can come here temporarily, do their job, and then go home. It's
well,
that easy.
For a long time, we've had the E-Verify program in theory. It says every employer, when you employ someone, you have to confirm their citizenship. And that's been largely ignored, just pushed aside, because, frankly, on the Republican side, they want to employ illegals to get the cheapest possible labor. On the Democratic side, they want to bring in the illegals because they can convert them into citizens or voters.
Well, you see, both sides, are, to me, are evil.
Yeah.
And it's you don't enforce the law. Like, when I hear Kristen Nielsen trying to make a screwed-up face and justify separating children, I saw a video clip where Corey Lewandowski is trying to defend a mother and a Down syndrome child from, I think it was Mexico or Central America, being separated. And the child's crying like hell because they don't understand why they don't have their mommy. This is just evil. I don't give a damn if they call it the law. It's freaking evil. And Trump, I don't care how many times you remonstrate and say it's a bad idea, we need, it's terrible that this is happening. Stop it. With one stroke of the pen, just like Schumer, once in a while, like they say, if a clock is stopped twice a day, its time is correct. What Schumer's saying is actually correct. Trump, stop this immediately. Take out the optics. It's bad. Fix the immigration policy. Disconnect the intel agencies that are tied directly to the drug, human, and organ trade. I know they tried to recruit me in 1987, 88. when I work in Georgia, to work at Emory University with Oregon Trade with the intel agencies, I know everything about this freaking thing. And our intel agencies are not just a few people like Lisa Page and Strzok. They're vile, is what they are. Welcome back. So this article is The Ominous New Politics of Trade. Let's get into some of the details of it. And I honestly think that my formula for Trump is, number one, break this problem down to its subunits. Number one, get rid of the optics of separating children and parents, which is about 20% of the kids that are arriving. Roughly 3,250 kids a week are arriving in America. 20% are with their mamas, like this little child with Down syndrome. Number two, start a Bracero 2 work program. These people are not going to get citizenship, and they shouldn't get citizenship. They want to go back to their home country once they make enough money. They're not starving to death. And number three, set immigration up so it's basically responsive to industry and states, and they have to put specific numbers in, specific kinds of workers, not just numbers, but specific kinds of workers. It doesn't matter where they're coming from. If you need tech workers from China or India or wherever, let them be vetted in properly to make sure they're not felons, that they have the proper qualifications to do the job you want, so we actually can stratify the type of people, not just uber-poor people from remote areas in Central America, but people that can do high-tech jobs and other jobs that we want to do as we move into a tech world, where basically in the future we have to re-engineer what even an economy is, because 15 or 10 years from now, 90% of the new jobs that are going to be employing people, new jobs, haven't even been invented yet, and most of them are going to involve us tech with artificial intelligence, robotics, 3D printing of parts which can be even in your garage that you can ship off to a factory to assemble with robotics. And a lot of the blue-collar jobs that we currently have are going to disappear. And that's one of the reasons why even in third-world countries, you know, or second-world countries like China, even the idea we have to ship business over to these countries is going to disappear. They know this. The Chinese should get it, that, in fact, with robotics and artificial intelligence, a lot of the reason why we would ship industry to these countries is going to go vaporize like a morning mist in Scotland. It's not going to happen anymore. And people need to understand that the most powerful thing and most valuable thing in the future is going to be information, life extension, a clean environment, and clean energy without the idea of tyranny. And the fact is, if you get rid of nation states, you don't have any representative government. You have global tyranny by a bunch of billionaires and bureaucrats that want to do crazy things like population reduction. So this is what's really going on here, and people don't understand. It's been projected through the intel agencies who have been running roughshod, especially since 9/11, over the rights of people in America. But for five, six decades, since the Second World War, our intel agencies, which are transplanted from Germany, have manipulated and destroyed economies and nations all over the world, like balkanizing nations like, you know, Ukraine. It's our fault that a lot of the things in the world are bad, just like the British fault over the last few centuries, to make the world a mess that it is right now. In fact, if you look at the vast number of presidents, they never dealt with immigration or Bracero II, which is stopped in the 1950s. So I think that people are not prepared for the techno-revolution that's going to change what it is to even have an economy, are they?
No, and in fact, what we should be seeing and are beginning to see is the creation of new nations, especially on the Internet, so that instead of even the relatively small countries we have now in much of the world, we would have, you would not think of yourself as a citizen of Canada, say, or whatever. You would think of yourself as a citizen of a particular web identity, or a nation on the web where people think the way you do and have your kind of values, work, and so on. And so you're going to see a redefinition of what the very idea of a nation means, and you're quite right. The worst thing you could possibly go to is a one-world government, basically run by a majority of freaks and dictators.
Right. And these people, by their very nature, and the very fact that they're successful, is because they're basically apostate, narcissistic, megalomaniac devils. How's that?
Sure. Now, what my column you mentioned, The Ominous New Politics of Truth,
right.
at WorldNet Daily or WND.com this week, deals with, and oh, by the way, happy summer solstice.
That's right, it is now, of course.
I was at Stonehenge at the last solstice before they put up the fence.
By the way, solstices are very commonly caused by populated by major earthquakes that go off, and there's one I just got a notice of that just literally today about to go off in New Zealand. Major super volcano.
Well, you're seeing the sun pull at a higher latitude
right.
than any other time of year. It's
right.
rather like when you get this plus a full moon at the same time and so on.
Yeah, it's what's called the alignment of the
Earth.
The alignment of the torsion fields of the moon and the sun together can increase the chances of superquakes because it pulls on the crust of the Earth versus the mantle.
Right, but my column was much more mundane. It's noting that the European Union, Canada, Mexico, and so on are not just raising in general a tariff in order to get in general more money or more power back from the other side. They are now using highly targeted tariffs. And by highly targeted, Mexico has acknowledged, Canada has acknowledged, the European Union has acknowledged, they are targeting tariffs on specific products, specific brands that will do maximum harm to Donald Trump and his supporters.
Well, that's in specific states, isn't it? So, for example, the hogs are grown in the Rust Belt states or specific products. They want to harm his voter base, don't they?
No, they're going after Harley-Davidson motorcycles and so on. They're going after bourbon whiskey because it's especially harmful to do that to the Senate Majority Leader and so on.
Right.
So they're making it much harder on one political party and much easier on the other. In other words, when you talk about Russian collusion, these foreign powers are using their tariffs in a way that is designed to manipulate and alter our politics. And I don't mean general economic politics. I mean very specific partisan
politics. Yeah, I call it eco-politics. In other words, you harm the voters that support Trump. And the real issue is people don't understand if we don't have America first rather than be colorblind to the color of each other or our specific dialectic. The problem I see is young people that get so vile. I've talked to young people, and they basically say to me, I'm so angry, I want to go to the White House and put a bullet in Trump's head. And they don't understand. Trump is caught in the same thing, too. I honestly think he's surrounded by a lot of people that are not fully aware of the situation. They've got what we call the district or criminals blinders on. And they're so used to the power brokers and the information they have, they don't understand you can't enforce laws that the optics look so bad. You then don't understand you have a situation where you have economic refugees, not immigrants. They're not trying to immigrate here and get asylum so they become citizens. They're just trying to work so they don't starve to death. And people don't get real about this stuff, that as the world economy teeters toward crash, if we get a cold, they get a cardiac arrest. So, for example, if our trade war heats up with China, we'll suffer somewhat, but we'll improve the trade balance with China, but other countries in the world will collapse. For example, it's very likely what's going on in Europe is very close to collapse, especially if the populous nations of Italy, Hungary, and Austria decide that they're no longer going to take the euro. The process of transitioning back to their own native currencies is going to be catastrophic to the world economy because they're all interlocked, aren't they?
Well, Hungary has just tightened down its anti-Soros laws to stop any influence by George Soros there, a native son of Hungary. Austria and Italy have just agreed they are going to stop immigrants from coming in. In fact, Austria has said it's going to tear down some mosques and actually
right.
send clerics out of the country if they intend
right.
to be violent or anti-Austrian.
Well, listen, I personally don't think Islam literally mixes with Western culture. I don't understand why we accept Islam in America. And I know there are apologists who try to reform it. That's going to take centuries to reform it.
If it rejects democracy, that's the
okay, so please continue. I was reading your article, and I'm amazed at how brilliant it is in terms of you know, like quoting King Lear, who said basically, how sharp than a serpent's tongue is an ungrateful child. And of course, this is a follow-up to the fact that we, through the arrangements after the Second World War, made these European nations strong again by giving them undue arrangements so they could build up their welfare states, their industries and economies. And they continue to use these tariffs to actually target not only industry, but now lately they're targeting the specific voters that supported Donald Trump. I think it's really disgusting. It shows like these children, these Canada and European nations, are like these ungrateful children with a tooth sharper than a serpent's tooth. That's how bad it is.
You can view the European nations one of two ways. Obviously, several of them are going over to the anti-European Union measure. Those who are in the European Union, those who are following the globalist vision of the EU, doing away with nations and creating a singular government, they are certainly eager to destroy Trump, because Trump and his election just symbolized what the same thing as it was when England carried out a Brexit and left the European Union, or its voters chose to do so. Voters all over Europe are now choosing to do so. Even the head of France, Monsieur Macron, has acknowledged quietly that if he were to allow a plebiscite of the people of France, the French people can vote to leave the European Union. Therefore, he doesn't let them vote. And if you go back to the roots of the European Union, which Craig Smith and I did at some length in our latest book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, you can actually read the documents of the founders of the EU. I mean, we have passages of their work in which they basically say, of course, we're anti-democratic. We don't like democracy. People must be led. They must be told what to do. They must be tricked and fooled. And then they should wake up one day and find they've already been subsumed under a government, and basically their country no longer exists. Their borders have been erased. That's what England found. They found that 63% of all their laws under the EU were suddenly enacted no longer by their elected representatives, but by bureaucrats in Brussels, who were not elected by the EU. We have an unelected government opposing Trump today, made of bureaucrats, made of unelected judges, and so on. Oh, and of course, made of the press, which has been infiltrated and turned into an absolute enemy of the country's independence for a long time.
Well, the press is basically a propaganda machine to keep the people down on the farm when 85% of legislation originates in Brussels or Strasbourg. So the Europeans basically are sick of it. That's why the Brits finally left, when they realized their main city, London, has become Londonistan.
Right, and under the rules of the EU, if you have Angela Merkel in Germany, invite several million Muslims to come be in Germany, then if they pick up and decide they want to move to England, they can legally do so. You cannot stop them. You no longer control your own immigration within the EU. And if they decide not to find a job that's to their liking, then English taxpayers must support them with welfare for the rest of their lives. I mean, that's what England was facing. That's what we're facing, basically, as a country. The average illegal couple or family in the U.S., as I say, consumes $17,500 more than it pays in taxes every year.
Right.
So they are a net drain. I mean, it was one thing to favor open immigration when we were not a welfare state, when we were a country where people actually expected to come here and have to work for a living. But 55% of the illegal aliens in this country take one form or another of welfare. That is a higher percentage than the population in general.
Right, and actually what you're seeing, the cost of running one person, one child in these camps is greater than the entire income of most of these people, even if they're working in America. So what we're seeing is that the cost to Americans for running these welfare programs, for, as I say, two-thirds of the asylum seekers in the world actually are coming to America. And this is a disaster that we cannot tolerate. We can have workers come here.
And there are millions and millions and millions of poor Americans.
Right.
The average income is $24,000 a year, and their children while we're spending $34,000, $35,000 a year on these illegals.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're betraying our own children by letting them flood the country.
Exactly.
No, if I were African-American in particular, I would be utterly furious at this. Why did Barack Obama, why has, and by the way, most of the pictures, you say this is a horrible photo situation, most of the pictures that were used in the early days of, oh, look at these children in cages, hear them screaming for their parents. By the way, in the tape that was used by all the left-wing media in this country, by which I include CBS, NBC, ABC, all of whom do about 90 to 93% negative Trump stories on average.
Yeah.
While the kids were crying for their parents, interestingly enough, they were doing so in English. They were using English terminology for their parents. They were not using Spanish terminology. In other words, they were coached. That whole thing was created.
Well, they created that because it's their functionaries that want to flood the nation because they want instant Democrats. And the thing is, the Democrats should realize if Trump solves this, a lot of these so-called pseudo-Democrats are going to become Republicans. And because the Republican Party, as we know it, is dead. The party of John McCain, who's dying of brain tumor, the party of George Bush and George Bush Sr., the party even of the Democrats are all dead. And what we see is the Democratic Party hasn't really woken up and smelled the coffee to actually get a message in media and even stars to actually try to serve the people. They've gone so far left, they've lost their sanity. They just want to oppose Trump, and that formula is not going to work. Right now, if Trump gets the message and just stops the separation
right,
of children and solves the problem...
with nobody.
Right. If Trump just smells a coffee and decides to stop the 20% of kids that are coming across with these 3,250 kids a week, and just doesn't separate the parents, but puts them in work camps immediately, or even buses them from their country of origin to work temporarily here and then sends them back with some money, that solves the problem, and the immigration issue can be dealt with, where states and industry have to put in a specific number and qualifications of people they need to actually get new citizens here, and the process should be streamlined, relatively rapid, and relatively inexpensive for the people we need. We need only. Immigration should be based only on our needs, not on whether people want to plant their butt here and stay.
Right. Two more quick thoughts. Number one, under Barack Obama in 2014, I think it was, he had in detention 25,000 children. 25,000.
Yeah, but the media are never going to expose that, are they?
Trump has in detention 2,000 children who came with parents or purported parents. By the way, there is a suggestion now they should do flash DNA testing to ascertain whether these, in fact, are the parents of the children. In many cases, they're not.
The problem is they think of them as a voting card to get themselves in here. And after the 20 days, when they do separate, by the way, people don't realize they're only separated from the child for 20 days, and then afterward they're reunited. But then they are if they don't put them in another facility, they actually just disappear into society and often don't show up for their actual hearings before the immigration court.
I agree with you totally. Trump is supposed to be a skilled business executive, right?
Right.
And a skilled executive knows when to cut his losses.
Right.
He knows when he's doing himself more harm than good. He's not going to be just utterly pig-headed, no matter what. I know he's appalled by...
I think he's at the end of his pig-headedness.
Say, oh, we forced him to do this.
Well, I think that Miller, as you mentioned, was one of the guys, as a speechwriter, gives him this as a good policy. But when Kristen Nielsen and Sessions all try to support this, and former campaign manager is trying to support it on CNN, this optics of this is so bad, nobody but an idiot would try to support this policy. Okay? So that's what I see happening.
Well, both sides are taking a tremendous gamble. We'll talk about the Democrat gamble when we come back.
We'll be right back.
you're talking about an interesting thing, because I think that there's a degree of collateralness and parallelness of the convulsions occurring on the planet Earth and the geoclimatic and geotectonic changes and the geopolitical ones, the polarization of the left and right. I've talked to young people who are so enraged over Trump. They've made vile statements that they want to attack and kill Trump. And really, to be honest with you, Trump is a novice in this political game. Although he's a good negotiator in his first step in dealing with North Korea, to carry it through to actually work, he's got to do a lot more steps. The same way as the immigration bill is not just a matter of enforcing the law to strong-arm the public to agree with him. He's got to take the optics out, even if it's the law, to stop doing this. I mean, you don't have screaming Down syndrome little girls screaming they want their mommy on CNN and being told off Corey Lewandowski by a CNN interviewer screaming at the top of his voice, "How dare you? How dare you?" I mean, the optics of this is obscene. I don't give a damn about the fact that it's the law. If you're going to solve the problem, if the law is an ass, you don't go and say it's a great ass. You don't. You don't treat the law with respect if it's obscene. And the fact is it hasn't been enforced for years because Barack Obama had the sensitiveness, even though he jailed a lot of people and they deported a ton of people, the media were on his side, so he wasn't going to get negative press. It's like you said, but the fact is Trump and the Republicans have to realize they're being attacked by foreign countries with their targeted tariffs and non-tariff barriers. We're being attacked by the media and the intel agencies. That's why Clapper and Brennan. And yep. Even when I saw Horowitz...
We do need to add a footnote here, though.
Yeah.
That is, Democrats are also taking a tremendous gamble, as are their Marxist allies in the media.
What?
That is, suppose, for example, just today, Sam Levine, far-left artist, game designer, adjunct professor at New York University, released the names and identities of 1,595 ICE employees who were involved in rounding up illegal aliens. Peter
right.
Fonda, the actor, proposed that. Now, that was picked up and is being pushed. Those names are being spread all over the country by Antifa, by this black-suited fascist organization that did so much damage at Berkeley and elsewhere. Now, what happens if you had a Bernie Sanders supporter just a year ago actually shoot a key Republican and threatened and come very close to killing a whole baseball team of
right.
Republicans in Virginia? What happens if this leads to the death of one or more ICE agents mowed down in a massacre by Antifa?
Well, I think it's the same thing that I mentioned.
The media will try desperately to blame it on Trump, but I don't think they'll be able to make it stick.
Well, I think what you're saying, this gamble is basically going to get people prosecuted, and the media should be delicensed. The media or the individuals that release this list need to go to prison because they're actually engaging in something that's basically a form of geopolitical coup and literally currying people that are over the edge. Because I see the dialogue between young people that have basically lost their sense. And what I see happening is the return of the control of the reptilian brain in many young people. They don't have enough sense and common wisdom to understand they're being manipulated by the left or right. And what I see happens on the right is a stupid party. Why do the Republicans do something that's legal but not optically reasonable?
Ah, but it doesn't make sense. You say that because just this week, just as of Monday, there is a brand new study out from researchers in Norway that shows that for those born after 1975, in other words, the millennial generation, there has been a decline of 3 to 4 IQ points. That the stupid generation is now, in fact, the millennial generation that tends to vote liberal or left.
Well, I can tell you that when I talk to people that are born even in the last generation or two, not only is their sperm count and their fertility rate lower, their IQ is lower. I don't find any young people under age, say, 30, that are even in a reasonable range of intelligence of what I call genius level anymore. I don't. And it's not because I'm thinking, well, I'm an old fart and I think I know more than everybody. No. What I realize is their curiosity index, because I'd rather call it a curiosity index rather than IQ, they're not as curious anymore. They don't question the dogmas they're being taught. They just pair with them like little robots.
Yeah, I remember in the 60s, the thing for young people like myself then to do was to attack the college professors and their dogma. Now, the kids lay down and worship the left-wing college professors.
Well, I don't think they're capable of thinking, and I'll tell you how I could quantify it. If you do a quantitative electroencephalogram, in order to form a neural network, you have to make the same phase and frequency between the frontal lobes and the visual motor cortex or other areas of cortex. You can do a SPECT blood flow scan, look for blood flow, and you can do a myelination scan with a T1-weighted MRI scan. And I've done these over a period of time, and I've acquired information that tells me that the part of the reason that we're seeing dumber and dumber people is their brains are toxic, just like their liver and their other organs. They're demyelinating. That's why the rate of 1 in 36 embryos that's going to be born this year as a child, as a fetus, is actually going to have Asperger syndrome, autism, or autism spectrum disorder, which means they have brain damage. They have dysmyelination of neural tracts to the frontal lobes of the executive functions. They've got neurotransmitter imbalances, and they've got upregulated inflammatory changes in their brain, so they're not healthy. So unhealthy brains are stupid brains. And the fact is, if you even look at the rate of cancer, if you're under age 40, your chances of getting cancer are four times greater than people my age in their 60s. Why the hell are people younger than 40 four times more likely to get colon cancer? Because they're weaker and they're sicker and they're genetically, toxically worse off than us old farts.
By the way, I do want to say it isn't just latest Norwegian research. They've done similar studies in Denmark, Britain, France, the Netherlands, Finland, Estonia,
right,
and so on, all of which showed the IQ declining with those born from the 1970s on, the millennials.
And it's an accumulative decline. See, what they want to do, they want to eventually cybernetically hack into human consciousness. So you won't even speak in sentences anymore. You'll telepathically talk to a computer system, and there'll be very little discussion between human beings anymore. It'll be through the telepathic connections through a cyber space, if you want to call it matrix. And people say, oh, the land, what happened? Let me tell you, if it could happen tomorrow and they'd have the ability to hack into your consciousness bidirectionally, people wouldn't talk to each other anymore. They'd telepathically talk to the computer through what I call cyber tweets. What do you think of that?
I think it's quite possible. By the way, we talk about that. Craig, who you see on with Neil Cavuto once a week, and myself, if you would like to have an absolutely free copy of our latest book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, that goes into how the one-worlders and so on have been able to achieve what they have, what our science fiction future is like, just call. We'll be happy to give you a copy of this 250-page book that reads like a novel but is nonfiction, and pay for the postage, pay for everything. Absolutely free. Won't cost you a cent. Just call 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 800-630-1492. And by the way, in your beloved Canada, you'll be happy to know the legislature has just approved legalizing marijuana nationwide for recreational use, which means the kids that were dumb are now going to be even dumber.
Well, here's the problem with marijuana, and there's three problems. The first problem is, an occupational doctor, we would see industrial accidents happen because people were smoking up on the site. Now, 7% of people genetically are predisposed to become schizophrenic or psychotic on marijuana with the Delta-9 THC. And the problem is, when you combine marijuana with fatigue or alcohol or other drugs, you become completely flaccid and you don't have any desire to fight against the system. So this is like the drug Soma from, what is it, the movie 1984? What they want to do basically is make a flaccid population.
Soma was from Brave New World.
Brave New World, I mean. Soma, Brave New World. So here's the situation. I believe that you need to decriminalize drugs, but you need to medicalize them, which means we need to toxically test every child in school and everybody in the job. And if you show a toxic, dangerous drug in your system, you don't get thrown into prison. You get thrown into the medical system where the doctor and healthcare people can take away your rights to be publicly driving a vehicle or doing things or operating heavy machinery, and you get into facilities to treat you. The problem is, we need to medicalize it if we're going to decriminalize it. And the idea of just making it all legal is because they want to make the population flaccid, incapable of resisting tyranny, and basically dumb them down to accept almost anything that the globalists want to do to them, including sterilization and eugenics. That's what's coming, isn't it?
I fear it is, yes.
Yeah, and if people don't get it, that the reason why they're legalizing is not only just to get another economic source of money like the state of Colorado, that are so much against doctors who treat pain like I did, but at the same time they medicalize the population with illegal, with basically marijuana that makes them useless, and a percentage of them are going to become schizophrenic or psychotic, 7%, on Delta 9 CHC. They don't give a damn, do they? And they're not going to genetically test
who's... In particular, one race is dying more than any other.
Yeah, exactly.
As we'll discuss.
We'll come back in the next segment, next hour.